Tilda and the Quatsch Monster, the best of friends, it's obvious. Swinging over houses, riding on their bikes to the moon.
Hello, listener! It's me, Matt. Can you believe it? The author of the story you're about to hear. The author of the story that you maybe heard a long time ago, if you heard it when it was new. I'm back! And, I want to start by saying, that I apologize for those of you who have waited maybe a long time for this second season. Yes, I did say it would take about 6 months. No, it did not take 6 months. It took much longer because it turns out writing a second book is, for some reason, much, much harder than writing a first one. But now that it's done and I'm here, I have to say, I am feeling so proud. I am overcome with pride. And doctors will tell you, when you're feeling big feelings like pride and excitement and happiness or whatever, you can't bottle those feelings up. You can't press it down. You gotta let those feelings out. So that's what I'm gonna do right now. And excuse me. When I'm feeling proud, my throat sometimes swells up a little bit like a frog. So, if I sound a little bit differently, that's why. It's because I'm just so proud, you know? So I don't even care that I sound a little bit weird or whatever. Now my chest is swelling up really big. But I'm not embarrassed, you know? I deserve this. This is good, and it's also healthy. Don't forget that, kids and grown-ups. Let your feelings out. Anyways, we're about to start season two. This is chapter one of Tilda in Witzlebenland. And I don't want to leave you waiting any longer. You've been waiting long enough. So here comes chapter one.
Chapter 1. Sugar Beached. Tilda's feet were wet when she awoke. At any moment, her mother would come into her bedroom and say, "Tilly, how did you manage to get wet feet in bed?" Then her dad would peel off the water-soaked socks and pretend they were giant slugs.
"Ew, gross,"
he would squeal and fling them across the room towards baby Otis. Then Tilda remembered her mom and dad weren't here. Neither was her little brother. She lay on her back, looking up into a blank white sky. Where was she? And what about Quatsch Monster? He was her way back home. Where was he? Laying on her back, she heard a tiny voice shriek,
"Monster! What have you done?"
Tilda propped herself up on her elbows. She was on a beach of white, sparkling sand, but the shrieker was nowhere to be seen.
"I suppose you don't care that you're lying on our castle," the voice continued, shaking with emotion. "Just because you're bigger than we are."
Looking around, Tilda now recognized that she was on a small island, about the size of a couch, and it was covered with little sand structures. There were towers ringed with shells and pearls, houses of coral and sea glass. Street lamps the size of pencils lit every corner. Palm trees no bigger than dandelions were decorated with strings of white fairy lights. The tiny houses, too, were lit from within, revealing their cozy little interiors.
"Hey, I'm talking to you. Don't ignore me."
Tilda looked down and finally saw the source of the outrage. A sea turtle, dressed in fancy evening clothes, so small he could have fit in the palm of her hand. And she would have picked him up, except for the fact that he was hopping mad.
"Well," he raged, waving a cane, "you've destroyed our castle. What do you have to say for yourself?"
Tilda's body had left an imprint in the sand like a snow angel. Right in the middle of her form was a pile of shattered shells, crushed gems, and broken ornaments. She tried to think of how her mother would have handled a situation like this on the playground. "I recognize your hurt feelings," Tilda said to the upset creature. "Do you want me to help you rebuild it?" The turtle smoothed down his dinner jacket with his flippers.
"And what makes you, a child, think that you can build a castle?"
"I've done it before," Tilda said. Then she started to sweep up sand and pat it into a tall mound. It didn't take long for her to realize that the sand was actually more like powdered sugar. As she worked, she licked her fingers clean.
"That is disgusting," the turtle spat. "Are you eating sand?"
"What? It tastes like candy," Tilda said, smacking her lips.
"Everything here tastes like candy," the creature huffed. "It's the worst."
After a little more complaining, he finally started to help digging tunnels and hollowing out the castle. Before long, they had made a real palace. The turtle, too, seemed pleased.
"My name is Arthur," he said,
removing his hat and polishing his head with a flipper.
"I'm, actually supposed to be getting married today, so you'll forgive me if I was a bit emotional before."
"It's no problem," Tilda smiled. "If someone destroyed my sandcastle, I would be upset, too."
"Would you, like to come to the wedding?"
Arthur asked shyly, gripping his hat with both flippers.
"We don't get so many guests on this island, and Zara would be pleased to have such a special visitor."
"Actually, I'm looking for a friend of mine. Maybe you can help? His name is Quatch Monster."
"You're looking for the Quatch Monster, huh? He lives over there with all the other annoying creatures."
The turtle pointed towards a large island on the horizon.
"They call it Witzleben. I call it Crazy Town Land."
Tilda squinted at the distant island. Witzleben was also the name of the place where her family now lived. She remembered her mother asking her phone what it meant. Joke life, important life, and also safe place.
"If you come to the wedding, I could offer you passage on one of our ships. My wife and I will be having our honeymoon in the stay-and-play gaming hall in New Voot City."
Sitting through a wedding seemed a small price to pay if it meant she could find her friend and get back home. So, Tilda agreed.
"Oh, joyful day! I'll introduce you to the bride. Come over here."
Arthur scooted towards the house nearest the castle and disappeared in the doorway. Tilda bent down low and peered into one of the windows. Inside, it was comfortably furnished, like one of those fancy dollhouses she had seen once at a museum. There was a soft-looking armchair, a fireplace, an old-fashioned radio, bookshelves, and a dining table already set for the next meal. Arthur was in the far corner of the room, poking a lump under the covers of a canopy bed.
"Come on, let's go, sleepyhead. We have a guest."
A moment later, they emerged from the house. Tilda could now see that Arthur's Zara was nothing more than a polished seashell with a smiling face painted on. Arthur put his flipper around the shell named Zara and chuckled awkwardly.
"Well, aren't you gonna say hello?"
"Hi, Zara. It's nice to meet you," Tilda said, forcing a smile.
"And?" the sea turtle demanded. "Aren't you forgetting something?"
"Congratulations," Tilda guessed.
"That comes after the ceremony," Arthur yelled,
letting the bride-to-be fall face first in the sand.
"Before the ceremony, you say, 'Oh, I'm so happy for you,' or 'Don't you look beautiful?' or something like that."
This was turning out to be worse than Tilda had expected. Maybe there was another way for her to get off this island.
"Where did you say your boat was?"
she asked casually.
Maybe it would be nice to take a little cruise before...
Taking a cruise in the harbor is only scheduled for the honeymoon!
The turtle screamed, stamping his foot in the sand. And that was the last straw. Tilda decided it was time to walk away from this weird situation, so she stood up to her full height to get a better view of the layout of the island. Sure enough, not far from the castle was a harbor, where a few sailboats were docked. The vessels were beautifully constructed with fine pearl detailing and beautiful silk sails. They were also, of course, far too small for Tilda to ride in. She bent back down and shouted, "Hey, I won't fit in any of those boats!"
"And whose fault is that?"
Arthur sniffed, pulling his bride close to him.
"Half of the kingdom would fit onto that fleet. It's not my responsibility to..."
"I thought you were trying to help me, but you were just lying to me," Tilda said, raising her voice.
Arthur covered his ears and scurried back into the house.
"Get out of here, you monster! Why don't you go to Crazy Town Land with all the other weirdos?"
Tilda was tempted to smash the whole city. But then she took a deep breath and decided, yes, she would go to Crazy Town Land and wherever else she needed to go to find her friend Quatch. Scanning the ocean around her, she tried to spot a ship or anything else that might get her off this island. Maybe even Quatch Monster himself was out there looking for her. But there was nothing. No boats, no flying bubble bike, just the swirling colors of the sea. Even the sky was empty. Tilda tried to think if she had ever seen the sky look like that, without clouds or sun, no birds or airplanes. Not even a hint of color, just like a blank piece of paper. She imagined having a paintbrush long enough to reach the sky and swipe a stroke of color across the enormous canvas. Then, miraculously, as she was turning that thought over in her mind, something happened. The sky opened up, and out of the hole a ribbon of color appeared. Something was falling from the sky. That something dove out of the air and slipped smoothly into the ocean without making a splash. A moment later, it leapt out of the water, and Tilda recognized it as the last creature she had seen before she fell into the ocean. A dolphin! Tilda shouted and waved her arms. "I have to get its attention," she thought. She reached down and grabbed a fistful of sugar sand and threw it up into the air. The sand exploded above her, creating a shower of sparks and flashing lights. She was making fireworks.
"I'm sorry I called you a monster," came Arthur's voice from below Tilda.
He was standing outside the castle, surrounded by a crowd of stones, seashells, and driftwood, their painted-on faces lit up red, green, and yellow by the festive display. Arthur wiped a tear away with the tip of his flipper.
"I always wanted fireworks at my wedding," he sobbed.
When Tilda turned her eyes back to the sea, the dolphin was swimming rapidly towards her.
That wraps it up for this episode. If you would like a digital copy of our first book, just send us a picture of your favorite part of the story today. You can reach us at quatchmonsterpodcast@gmail.com or on Instagram. Thanks for listening.